And on the line now I have Johnny Woodlock, and he's with the Seal Sanctuary and also the Sea Fishery Advisory Group of the Irish Environmental Network. Good afternoon. How are you, Johnny?
How are you?
Now, the press release from the Seal Sanctuary, Black Hole of Irish Fisheries. Now, it's been in the news recently as well. The operational programmes, you're saying the Minister should act on them now. What were they now and what way should they be?
Well, our mission statement in the Sea Fishery Advisory Group has always been, this with the Irish Seal Sanctuary, has always been to strive for sustainability and a future for all users of our marine resources, mm-hmm. including seals. The emphasis up to about seven years ago, was always purely for the industry. Mm-hmm. And the EU set up regional advisory councils, which was the first time that it wasn't just the industry was given advice on fisheries and fish stocks. It was it included other stakeholders, which were NGOs, initially like the World Wildlife Fund and Greenpeace. Now, some of these have offices in Brussels. But we got involved at the start. Now, it started off in Dublin Castle in mm-hmm. 2005. We've been involved since. And initially, there was a kind of a hostile reaction to anyone else having any sort of a say on fish stocks and fisheries. But I'm an angler myself, and as an angler, kind of, I want to see some fish there for my kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, I live in Skerries, and I remember going out here from Skerries and catching spur dog on a mackerel feathers when fishing for mackerel as a kid. Mm-hmm. And the mackerel are practically gone from the Irish Sea because of overfishing.
Okay.
And the industry would still state that they can go out and find the seabed covered in mackerel. Mm-hmm. But it took kind of the NGOs to point out to them, yes, but you can go out and find the seabed covered in mackerel and catch 300 or 400 boxes of mackerel a day, but the majority of those 300 or 400 boxes would be pregnant females.
Okay.
So the stocks of spur dog in, which is a small shark, the stocks of spur dog in the Irish, well, in our waters, in the northeast Atlantic, mm-hmm. have declined by over 90% since about the 80s. So I was always making the point that it's not kind of, it's, we're talking about extinction, you know.
Yes, yes. So it's absolutely deteriorating. And when you were talking about being an angler, I'm sure you're talking about angling on the shore or even maybe going out on a lake. So you're not going to get the mackerel in these situations.
Well, it's more of, well, we're talking about sea fisheries here now. I have okay. worked in inshore, in inland fisheries as well, freshwater, mm-hmm. but we're talking about the sea here.
Okay. There was a guy now on the TV on the news last night. I don't want to bring in another argument, but he was interrupting a meeting with Irish Water yesterday, and he said that like we've destroyed our sea fishery. We've also gas and oil, and he was relating it to Irish Water. Was he right in his assertions that it could go the same way, and it's their fisheries is that bad now?
Fish stocks declined. And, I mean, it's largely due to the introduction of new gear. I mean, when I got involved in this, as I said, I'm from Skerries, and I remember the harbour in Skerries covered mm. in full of boats. And all those boats were kind of owned by local guys and crewed by local guys. But the majority of the big boats, if you go to Hoth or any of the big fishery harbours, Killybegs, mm-hmm. you're talking about huge multi-million pound mm. vessels crewed by employees of companies, mm-hmm. and a lot of the crews are non-national as well, mm-hmm. which is a problem as well. But I mean, I remember Skerries Harbour, the herring fleets would hit the herring, they'd move up and down the coast, and the harbour would be covered, looked like it was covered in sequins. But I mean, that's something my kids will never see.
Yes, yeah. Okay,
our whole thing is to protect the, to try and make sure there's a future mm-hmm. for fishermen as well, you know, because some of the stocks have practically gone. I mean, I've seen several harbours covered in baby whiting, and there's no allowable catch for whiting in the Irish Sea now, or cod. But, I mean, we could see this, even as kids, we could see this couldn't go on, you know. Mm-hmm. They used to land whiting to intervention in Skerries. It'd be landed on the pier, died before it, and then the fishermen would be told to take it back out and dump it.
Okay. Now, I know that this, I know this is a very naive question for someone who knows very little about fisheries and all that. Like, I imagine we're living on an island where a lot of people don't know anything about it at all. They just go and buy it wherever they can and eat it. And for a nation, we don't eat much fish either, which is unusual. But what way do the boundaries work? How do they mark out boundaries and how is it monitored and all that sort of carry on?
Well, in Ireland, the Sea Fish Protection Authority have responsibility for enforcing it. Fishery laws. There's a lot, an awful lot of laws, and I mean, I sympathise with a lot of the fishermen because fishermen helped us out in the seal sanctuary, and we try to do our best for the small scale fishermen who have little impact. But I mean, if fishermen were happy enough to make a living wage and do that, things would manage. But as the stocks are there, that they don't have to pay for it. But,
okay.
And they don't put any fertiliser, they don't have to sow seed. It's not like farming in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
They just go out and take it.
Yes, yeah.
And if they can get technology that'll let them pull two or four big nets, rather than the way, as engines got bigger, I mean, the seat that's in some of these big super trawlers, the skipper's seat would probably cost as much as the small boats used to cost, the small trawlers used to cost.
Yeah.
You're talking thousands, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So people in competition, like people with the bigger boats, obviously mine is bigger than yours, so I get most of it. But that's why I was asking about how it's monitored and
well,
how it's coagulated.
It's very difficult because the fishermen don't want to share the information. And that's one particular problem, is that without the information, without the data, the scientists can't calculate. It's very, you can't manage any resource unless you have all the figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we suspect that the fishermen themselves could assist a lot more than they do at the present.
Mm-hmm.
Europe is pushing for fully documented fisheries, which means that everything that's caught will have to be counted.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, then you'd have an idea of what's going on, because one of our most valuable fisheries is the prawn fishery. And trawling is, you know, dragging a net over the bottom of the sea is terribly destructive. And it's very unselective. You catch everything that's there.
Yes, yeah.
And the majority of it is dead when it comes up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some species will survive fairly well if they're put back correctly straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is dead and is going to die very quickly. I mean, I went out for a full day on a boat and I couldn't believe the amount of undersized fish that was brought in. Now, the whole discards ban that was the big issue last year with the reform of the common fisheries policy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a disgrace to throw valuable fish away because the quota you've used will be a quota. But unfortunately, it wasn't the whole discards ban. It was fairly sensational. But it wasn't thought through completely, you know, how it was going to be enforced, you know, what was going to be done with the discards when they landed them.
Yeah. Can I ask you about that, as I say, through my naivety? When they go out and they get over the quota, is that because of the size of the nets that they're throwing out or whatever they use? Or they just do it too often? Or what way would it work that way? I mean, surely to God, if they say, for instance, you have to catch, I mean, they have the holes for, say, six, and they fill the six, they're not going to go down and try and get seven and sort of top them up and say, oh, look, we've gone over.
I mean, there were recent convictions now in Donegal.
I remember that, yeah.
Some fishermen will do that. I mean, one guy was convicted for landing 40 tons of herring when he declared in his logbook that he'd only landed four, you know.
Yeah, and do you think that
the massive difference.
Do you think the sanctions are effective enough or big enough on people that are caught doing this?
I don't think the penalties are enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other point to remember is that these guys are all subsidised by both Europe and ourselves. I mean, we're basically paying these guys to go out and do it. Their fuel is subsidised. The discarding is, I mean, there will be bycatch. You'll catch stuff that you don't intend to catch.
Okay.
I mean, we have an issue with seals in particular because seals, and we've had a number of seals come ashore wrapped in nets. tangle nets seem to be a particular issue.
Yeah.
And the BIM did a study on it and found that tangle nets were catching seals, dolphins. And we have other fish. I mean, angel shark used to be found fairly much around the country in the estuaries and bays. They're found in Clew Bay and Tralee Bay at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're called monkfish, but by now what we call monkfish is actually anglerfish.
Okay.
The true monkfish, the angel shark, is a kind of flattened shark.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they're restricted mainly to just those two bays. Very, very rare otherwise. And they're particularly vulnerable to trammel nets, which are just basically loose sheets of netting that are put on the seabed, and they'll catch anything that stumbles into them.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned...
is another large ray that used to be fairly common all around our coast, and they suffer from tangle nets as well.
Okay.
We've called on the minister to ban them because we know that there are selective other methods of catching. They're primarily used to target crayfish, the tangle nets, and there are crayfish can be caught in pots, which are much more selective and won't catch dolphins and seals or angel shark.
Yeah, you mentioned seals there. They're sort of, are they being a bit of a, if you pardon the pun, a red herring now as far as being blamed on...
Absolutely. I mean, the finger's been pointed at seals for so long and so many times that they're doing terrible damage. Now, seal numbers have increased over the last... The Parks and Wildlife Service are responsible for counting them and doing a census every so often. And they have increased by about 30%. We still have only a fraction of what's in around Scottish waters. But seals and fishermen have coexisted happily for millennia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the anomaly there is that while seal numbers have increased, fish stocks have decreased. And yet predators... predator numbers depend on the availability of prey, you know?
Yes, yeah. Have we got, for instance, like with the climate change they're talking about, I mean, you hear all these strange jellyfish and different kinds of fish, sharks, for instance, more quantities of them. Is there more exotic fish coming into Irish waters because of the climate?
We are having more species. I mean, over the past, as an angler now, I know certainly over the past 20 years, 30 years, we've had triggerfish, gilt-head bream and even black bream 30, 40 years ago were terribly exotic and very rarely caught. And they're here every year now. We nearly have our own stocks of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, talking about that, I mean, exotic fish coming in, the thing that amazes me as well, I mean, I'm sure every country has its restriction as far as fishing is concerned, but I'd be amazed when I read and see and hear how big Spain is in selling actually fish caught in Irish waters. We actually export fish to Spain, which sounds strange to me.
Well, there's a number of fish species that we catch and we don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... blue whiting and horse mackerel. There isn't really an Irish market for them.
Okay.
Except as going into to be processed, you know, into fish meal or chicken feed or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Another species now that is becoming very big now is a thing called a boar fish, which used to be caught in a bycatch with prawns. They breed off the southwest, and that's, you see, one of the things that we're afraid of as well is a lot of the fishermen, you see, will target these fish. Bass is another case in question, and the spurlock, they target them where they spawn. So you're endangering the whole population by doing that.
Okay.
But the boarfish are about 3 inches long, but they're very bony. So they're proposing to open a plant in Killybegs now. That can handle boarfish, but it's going to process them into fish oils and stuff.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we're all for kind of getting the high value stuff out of the fish, but what we'd like to know is who's going to monitor what exactly goes into that factory.
Okay.
Because if these fish are minced up at sea, as we've heard happens, they could be putting anything in, you know.
Yes, yeah. Just before I let you go and go back to that subject as well, I want to just ask you about the seal sanctuary. Is there any, has there been any funding over the past few years? I know when I was talking to Brendan that things weren't great, no funding at all, but, I mean, survived and through the kind donations from people and volunteer work from people. So how is the seal sanctuary and has it indeed got any funding?
We're keeping, if I was to say we're keeping a head above water, mm-hmm. it's just that. I mean, last Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, it could have been Monday morning, there was a call for a seal pup in Rush, and I got over as soon as I got the message. I went over, and Brendan mm-hmm. had just beaten me over, but the poor thing had come in from Lambay, and with one of its eyes was damaged. I think its eyes will have to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
I was also very seriously underweight. I mean, normally what we're doing now is we're tending to work more in a coordination role. We don't have a home as such, but Brendan still has a few places in his, basically in his garden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to look after a couple. Seal Rescue Ireland are down in Corktown. And they have the facilities there that we set up years ago, you know. I'm sure Brennan filled you in on that.
Yes, yeah. Well, just getting back to the fisheries now, before I let you go, as you say, you've made representations for the government for operational programmes, and you want to sort of funding to be able to enforce and, you know, do things documented and do everything properly and try and keep people in employment. But subsequent governments seem to have been very remiss over the past, if we can dare say, 20 years from listening to people talking to yourself and people in Holt I've talked to over the past couple of years as well, that it's actually in a fairly dire straits at the moment, and I mean, something should be done for a natural resource like this.
It's great that they're involving other people besides just the fishermen, but it has opened a whole can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
These regional advisory councils, the producer organisations are very strong, and they have a very strong political lobby. Other people, I mean, if the fishermen's organisations say, no, we want to do this, and we want to catch this much, they're listened to.
Okay.
They actually have the minister's phone number, you know.
Yes, yeah. So is it
to argue to get in for a meeting with him?
So is all the people? Is there a fraction there among all the people?
The inshore fishermen now, they've set up. BIM have set up a. Well, they're in the process of setting up an inshore fisheries forum.
Mm-hmm.
But again, BIM are part of the system. Now I've been asked to join the regional inshore, the Northeast Regional Inshore Fishery Forum, and certainly I'll do what I can. You see, the money that's coming from Europe, it was the European Fisheries Fund,
mm-hmm.
EFF, and that's been changed now to the European Maritime and Fisheries Fund. So they want to promote other uses like tourism and.
So that widens the
widens the
bucket,
whole
yeah.
For
yeah.
Who's getting the money?
Yes, yeah.
But all the applications have to go through BIM again, mm-hmm. which is charged with encouraging fishing.
Well, I have to say, you don't sound very hopeful and optimistic about the future. Do you think that you'll get satisfaction?
I am. There is a future there, but we have to kind of try and get our voices heard at the moment before things get too bad. But nature has a great way of bouncing back.
Okay, and of course, when you have people like the Sea Fishery Advisory Group, like yourself, in there fighting as well, I mean, that makes all the difference. It certainly does.
Well, we're trying our best.
Okay, listen, Johnny, thank you very much, and just tell Brendan I was asking for him when you're talking to him, and good luck both with everything that you're doing, and I hope when the next time I talk to you that things will have improved much, much better.
I hope so. I mean, the new Common Fisheries Policy has at its core kind of a few sustainability and a future for fishing, you know.
Okay. Well, so I'll be optimistic. I'm very sceptical about, cynical and sceptical about the governments at the moment. So let's see how it goes for the future. Thanks very much, Johnny.
Okay.
Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And that's Johnny Woodlock of the Seal Sanctuary. And he's also the Sea Fishery Advisory Group. He's with the Sea Fishery Advisory Group on the Irish Environment Network.